Log Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know how y'all didn't feel the spirit of God right there. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. And God, my deliverer. Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we just got to hear those words and just say, God, you are my healer. You are my Savior. You are my deliverer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And stand firm on that and watch him do the work. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. And tonight, as you know, we have two guests with us. We have Apostle-elect Donna Shaw as well as Apostle LaShawna Simpson. Glory to God. And we're going to hear from these two women of God. And I'd like to acknowledge my sister Shirley on the phone, as well as my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, on the phone. Amen. Glory to God. We don't have anybody in the chat room yet, but they'll be here shortly. But anyway, Jesus is Lord. So let us just go before the Lord. I thought we were going to go another way, but this song came on. So we're going to just go with that. And now we're going to go and pray. And after we pray, we're going to have Apostle-elect Donna Shaw come right on the line, okay?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, because you are our healer. You are our deliverer. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is our Savior. Father, we just thank you and praise you for that right now, that you have even called us that we can say that tonight. Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord God, because some people out there still don't know you as their deliverer. Some people still don't know Jesus as their Savior. They still don't know you as their healer, God, but we just pray them tonight, God. Father, we pray for them tonight, oh God, wherever they are, that they might hear a word and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they might hear a word, God, even if it's not tonight, Lord God, that the appointed time they will come, they will hear the word, oh God, and be saved, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Those looking for healing and deliverance, we pray for them tonight that they will receive, hallelujah, what thus saith the Lord, and be healed and be delivered tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those who may even be listening in archives, oh God, later on, oh God, that even when they listen then, Lord God, that they will be healed and delivered, oh God, and saved, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for it right now. I thank you for these two anointed vessels of God, Lord God. I pray, oh God, that you will use them, Lord God, in such a mighty way, Lord God, as you have before. Oh God, help us to hear your word tonight, oh God. Help us to hear in the spirit, Lord God. Help us to hear, Lord God, and not just hear, God, but obey, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I say thank you for it right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm already ready. I don't know, but I'm already ready. I thank God. So, Apostle-elect Donna Shaw, welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. And thank you, woman of God, for your obedience. Apostle LaShawna Simpson, welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, and thank you for your obedience for coming in to give us a word from the Lord. So at this time, I'm turning the floor over to Apostle-elect Donna Shaw, and we will hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Praise you for that song. Praise you, Lord, for that prayer. I'm just in awe of who you are in my life, and that you would even consider somebody like me just to share a word, just to be in the presence of your people. It is an honor to be here, and I oh gosh, just like when I said with Apostle Penson, I don't even know what to do with myself, but I praise God for the opportunity just to be here and for you opening this door. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you, and you know that.
I love you, too.
And, you know, as I was considering what to share and asking the Lord, what direction do you want me to go in, I thought I was going the way that I'm going, and then I thought, well, maybe not. And then as I heard, I believe, your last broadcast with Evangelist Patricia,
mm-hmm.
and the way that was going, I said, Lord, I know that I'm right. I'm going where you want me to go. And when Apostle LaShawna Facebooked me the other night, wanting to know which way I was, which, you know, direction that I felt the Lord was leading me, I shared that with her, and I was hoping that she was on the same wavelength, the same flow, and she confirmed that you know, this is the way the Lord wanted to send her. And so to God be the glory for the things that he has done, what he's doing now, and what we have yet to see him do.
Amen.
So today I wanted to come from the idea or the topic or the title of Your Destiny.
Okay.
Because a lot of people, we know, we talk about purpose and we talk about our call, and there's so many Christians who say, well, I don't know what my purpose is, and I don't know what my call is, and I don't know what God wants me to do. But what they're really saying is, I don't know how God wants, they know what God wants them to do. They know, they have an inkling. They may not know how it's going to play out, but they have an inkling of what that purpose is or what that call is. But what they really want to know, when they say they don't know, what they really want to know is, what does that look like? What they're really saying is, I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know how God is going to make that happen in my life with the way things are going on in my life, and I just can't see that happening. I don't know what it looks like, and even in my situation right now, it that just can't be. I must have missed God when he said that, when I heard him say that to me. But as sons of God, and I like how Apostle LaShawna always says, Daddy God, he's just that to us. If we have called on Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he is our daddy. He is our father. And because we are his sons, and I say sons, I don't, you know, say sons and daughters, we're sons. So women, get over it. It's okay to be a son of God. He loves you. He knows he made you in the form of a woman, but you're his son. So receive it. Just receive it.
Receive.
We keep getting caught up on this technical word, son and man. Get over it, please. Body of Christ, today, let's just get over it. We're sons of God, okay? Release yourself from all that stuff and know that you're his son. Know that he loves you. Know he has a plan for you. Know that he has something for you to do to help build his kingdom. So when we're talking about your destiny, I look up the word, you know, I look up definition of words, because I don't like to just throw things around like I assume I know what they mean. I really want to know the depth of what it means. And when I was on my iPad and I looked up the word, the definition for destiny, here's the first definition I saw. It said, the apparently predetermined and inevitable series of events that happen to somebody or something. These events that are going on in our lives, they're predetermined and they're inevitable. Why? Because God has a call in your life. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And so think the things that you see happening in your life, the series of events that are going on, they've been predetermined. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But just catch on to that they're predetermined and they're inevitable. They are going to happen. If you are walking in the call, they're going to happen. So please don't be surprised. Please don't get caught off guard. Please don't get frustrated. They are going to happen. And the first time I read that definition, there were more things that, as I scrolled down, that I saw. And you know, at first I just left it alone, and I'm like, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go with this destiny thing? What's this destiny thing? And if you go on my website, or if you go, when you go to Blog Talk and you hear my program come on, it says my mission is clear. It's leading, building, and training people of destiny. So destiny is part of my mission, to lead, build, and train people of destiny. So if I'm going to use that, if God has given me that, I really wanted to understand what destiny meant. And so as I read down further, when I went back and I looked at the definition of destiny again, I saw that what I just read, the apparently predetermined and inevitable series of events that happened to somebody or something, as I continued to scroll down, it started to give me the origin of the word destiny. And that's what really made my spirit jump. That's what really got me excited. So I'm going to share it with you. So bear with me. It's not long, but bear with me. The origin of destiny is Middle English, from Old French, destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-E-E. That's from the Latin destinata, and that's a feminine past participle of destinare. And here's what destinare means. I mean, when you break it all down, here's what it comes down to: to make firm and to establish. When you break down the word destiny, what is the purpose of destiny? What's the purpose of these inevitable series of events? What's the purpose of this predetermined event that's going on in your life? It's to make you firm, and it's to establish you. And I think people of destiny, you people of destiny, all of you children of the Most High God, you sons of God, ha! He has a call and a plan for you. That's what he wants you to do. But as you walk toward that call, as you walk in that call, as you walk out that purpose and that plan that he has, knowing that what goes on in your life, good and bad, it's to make you firm and it's to establish you. And as I was going through and studying and getting this revelation for myself, God said two powerful statements to me. Where it comes to being firm, here's what God said. He says, I will allow you, and he was speaking to me, Donna, so even as I say this, attach your name to this. I will allow you to be part of the process. I will allow you to cause the miracles to happen. That's all under being firm. When he's firming us up, here's what he's saying to us. He says, I'm going to allow you to be part of the process. I'm going to allow you to cause the miracles to happen. And you're saying, but God, I'm waiting on you to do it. I'm expecting you to make it happen. I'm expecting you to open the door. And what God wants us to understand, he has given us the call, he's given us the purpose, he's given us the plan. We don't understand how it's going to work out, but in that, he is saying to us as his sons, I'm allowing you to be part of this process. Yeah, I put the call, I put the mantle on you. Yeah, I set you up in this position. Yeah, I did that. But I am going to allow you to be a part of the process. And the miracles that happen, you're going to cause them to happen. Some of you can't even get a hold of that. You can't even grasp that because you keep seeing yourself as this little gnat. You keep seeing yourself as this little fly. You keep seeing yourself as this little ant. You keep seeing yourself as this itty-bitty thing, that there's no way that God could possibly cause a miracle to happen because of you. But God wants you to know today, sons. He wants you to know today, dear one. He wants you to know today, his beloved. See yourself as his beloved. He wants you to know today that, yes, you're a part of this process, and you, as you walk out in obedience to him, you are going to cause these miracles to happen. How can I say that? Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. Glory to your name. I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to skip around. And for those of you who don't know me, I grew up reading King James. But when I really study and dig down, I read out of the English Standard Version. So that's the version I'm coming from. So don't be surprised if the words aren't exactly the same. The thought is exactly the same. And that's why I feel free to read from that version. But starting at verse 1 in Joshua chapter 3, it says, Then Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Verse 2, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I want to skip down to verse 7. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and all the ites. Verse 11, before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Verse 12, now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Let me repeat what the Lord says to you, dear one. He says, I will allow you to be a part of the process. I will allow you to cause the miracles to happen.
My God.
And we know that as they obeyed the Lord and as the priests stepped their feet into the water, that the water did exactly what God said it would do. He has a series of events that's taking place in your life. Why? To get you firm. What does that firm mean? It means in the Old Testament to ordain you, to direct you, and to prepare you. To ordain you, to direct you, and to prepare you. He gave them the instructions before they even hit the water, what was going to happen. But he says to us, we're going to cause the miracle to happen. This is what God is saying. This is what I want to happen. But it's not going to happen until you step in the water. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Can you trust me enough to believe that what I said is going to happen is going to happen? He says, I'm telling you it's going to happen. All you need to do is trust me enough to do it. All you need to do is trust me enough to step. All you need to do is trust me enough to open that door. All you need to do is trust me enough to put the key in the ignition and turn on the car.
My God.
The miracles, we think God is performing the miracles, and he is. But he's performing it through you as you are obedient to him. God is not doing all this stuff by himself. He can. But he chooses to do it through us. He chooses to do it through you and through me. And we don't have to like the fact that he chose us. We don't have to understand why he chose us in the midst of the crack house, like Evangelist Patricia would say. We don't have to understand why he would use someone like us, like me. And you know, I didn't come out of anything like that. That's not my testimony. But I was still a wretch undone on my way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he chose this little scaredy cat crybaby girl called Donna L. Shaw, Donna Collins at the time. He still decided to call on somebody like me, to use somebody like Evangelist Teresa, to use somebody like, oh, glory to God, like Bishop Scott. And all his disabilities and his limitations and everything that is set up against him. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Yes, he wants to perform miracles through you, even you. The lowest of the low, I don't care who you are, he wants to perform the miracles through you. He wants you to dip your toe in that water and make it part. And what did he say to Moses? He said, put your staff up, raise up your staff. They were standing there by the Red Sea, and they had a Pharaoh's army coming behind them, and they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. They had nowhere to go. Either they were going to drown or they were going to be slain by their enemy. And God told Moses, just raise the staff. Just put it up above your head. Put it up above your head. That's all I need you to do. Just put it up above your head. He used Moses. He said, you're going to be part of this process, Moses. Put the staff over your head. And when he did it, that's when the sea parted. Now, God could have said, see, you know, give me a line down the middle. You go on this side, you go on that side, let my people through. But no, God said, I want you to be part of this process. You are going to be the reason. You are going to be the cause of this miracle happening. And all we need to do is trust that he knows what he's doing by using us. He knows what he's doing. He knows that you're in debt, and he still said, go out there. He knows that you're the seventh child out of ten, and that there's no way that ends are meeting right now. But he still said, go on out there. Go on out there. Go on out there and do it. Please go out there and do it. Now, I'm speaking to you because this is the way God speaks to me. And that's the kind of personality I am, and that's the kind of that's the way he made me. So he's just playing, and he's in my face like that. So please don't be offended when I'm in your face like that. That's just the way God uses me. But it is from a deep place of love, and that's what I want you to know. God loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he wants so much to be done for his kingdom, and he chose you for such a time as this to be a part of the process and to also cause that miracle. The miracle you're waiting on, he's waiting on you to step out so that it can happen. You're waiting on the miracle. He's waiting on you to cause the miracle to happen.
Amen.
That's your firmness. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 3. We're still talking about firmness, but I want to see what firmness looks like in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3. Starting again at verse 1.
Wow.
He says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. That's why I need you to understand this son thing. And again, don't be offended that I'm not saying son and daughter. We certainly can do that. The word there in the Greek could mean son and daughter. So please don't be offended. But there's something about a son. There's something about that thought of being a son that I want you to see and I want you to take hold of and I want you to make your own. It says, going back to verse 6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. He's not God's servant. He's his son. You're not God's servant. You're his son. There's a difference between a servant and a son. And yes, we serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, we serve him and we do things to bring honor and glory to his name. But it's because we're his son, because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because we've been born of Jesus, we are his son. And if Jesus is heir, we're joint heir with him, we are his son. Some of you need to understand, really understand that, and do a study when we're done with all this of what son really means, because that's where he wants us to go in this age, in this day. He wants us to have our relationship with him so entwined that we are just that connected to him. And I think we see ourselves as God is here as our father, and here we are as his son. Where God is, that's where I am. What did Jesus say? I and the Father are one. You need to start saying that about yourself. I and the Father are one. And we don't do everything according to his will. And so we're learning and we're growing in that process. And we're going from glory to glory. We're going from dimension to dimension. And we're becoming more and more like him as we allow our minds to be transformed into his image. But let's start saying it. I and the Father are one. Let me finish this verse because I'm getting happy here. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. and we are his house if indeed we hold fast. And in the King James, fast means firm. If we hold firm our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Now, why would I read that? Why would I go here? Because just as God wants us to understand our sonship in him, he also wants us to see this. When we talk about being firm, in the New Testament, firm means to be steadfast. Firm means to be sure. Firm, and this is the one I like the most, firm means to be stable. And the root idea of being stable is basality. What does that mean? That means we've got a firm foundation. We have a foundation. Our foundation is Jesus. Amen? And so if he's our foundation, there's no cracks in him, right? There's no lack in him. There's no flaws in him. There's no error in him. Everything about him is pure. Everything about him is holy. Everything about him is perfect. And so if we are in him, we're being built on a we have a perfect foundation, and we are being built on that perfect foundation. But guess what? Even as we see ourselves being built on that foundation is strong enough to hold us. That foundation is strong enough to hold us and to carry us and to lift us up. Why? Because that firm foundation that is strong enough to hold me, it's making me strong enough to hold you, and it's making you strong enough to hold somebody else, and it's making that person strong enough. That's how we're building the kingdom. We're on this firm foundation, which is Jesus, and there's no flaws, there's no cracks, there's no error in him, and he's strong enough to hold us up, because he's making us strong enough to hold up somebody else. He's making us firm. He's making us stable, and that's what he's doing with us and for us. And I know you're sitting there and you're saying, Donna, that sounds real nice, and that sounds real sweet, and that even sounds real holy and deep. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my situation, because nothing in my situation right now is beautiful. Nothing in my situation right now would convince me that God, not that he can't hold me up, but that I'm able to hold up somebody else. But here's what God wants us to know today. Let's think about Joseph, because that's who I thought about. That immediately the Holy Spirit brought Joseph to me. Because when we're talking about being firm, and we're talking about God wanting to establish us, and God wanting to have these series of events that they have to happen in our lives, Let's think back on Joseph, how his father loved him, and how much his brothers hated him, and the dream that God had given him, that those sheaves were bowing down to his sheaf, and the stars were bowing down to his star, and how that his brothers got all upset, and even his father took offense to the dream as well. About, you mean we're all of us supposed to bow down to you? Really, who are you? Who you think you are? And yet, out of the pureness of his heart, he shares this dream with his family, because he saw the call, he saw the purpose and the plan, but he had no idea what it really meant. And so, we see all these events that happened to him, how his brothers threw him in the pit, and how the Ishmaelites sold him, and how he was in Potiphar, and he was a slave, and then being falsely accused of rape, and being thrown in prison, and all these things that happened to him. How in the world were sheaves going to bow down and stars going to bow down to this man, when it seemed like everything that could go wrong for him went wrong for him? And yet, listen to this and get this. And yet, even with all that stuff that was going on in his life, God was using him, and God was still allowing Joseph to be a part of the process. How can you say that? Because no matter where he was, no matter what happened to him, and no matter what the next scenario was for him, God was with him. And that's what the word says. It says no matter where Joseph was in this process, God was with him. And God allowed Joseph to help, no matter where he was. Somebody prospered because of Joseph. The Ishmaelites prospered because of Joseph. Potiphar's house prospered because of Joseph. The prison prospered because of Joseph. Pharaoh prospered because of Joseph. His family prospered because of him. The whole known world at that time prospered because of this one man. Out of all this calamity that was going on in his life, it had to happen. Stop getting upset that somebody walked away from you. That had to happen.
My God.
Getting upset that this sickness and disease is on you. It had to happen. Now, look. Yes, he bore our sickness and our griefs, and by his stripes we are healed. I claim it in Jesus' name. But let's start shifting our focus. Let's stop looking at, woe is me, I've got this. Woe is me, I've got that. Woe is me, I can't catch a break. Every time I take a step forward, I get pushed back too. Let's stop focusing on that. Let's start focusing on, okay, if God hasn't removed it, then let's see it as this. It had to happen. And why did it have to happen? I don't know, but let's keep walking this out, and we're going to see why it had to happen in the end. That's what happened to Joseph. He saw, okay, after all that had gone on in this boy's life, after everything that had gone on in his life, he finally got to a place where all these inevitable events, all these things that had to happen to him, they had to happen to get him to where he needed to be so that all these people could prosper. Yet people prospered along the way because God was with them. And you need to see this for yourself. People are still going to prosper, even though you're in a job that you don't want to be in right now. I know there's a I'm in a job I don't want to be in right now, but people are prospering because I'm there.
Amen.
God is with me wherever I go. And so if that, even in the job where I am right now, people are prospering.
Amen.
It has to be. It just has to be because I'm his son. It has to be.
Amen.
You need to see yourself. We need to start seeing ourselves, dear ones. We need to start seeing ourselves that God has set us up. That's the other word you need to understand. He set you up.
Thank
so receive
you.
The setup. Walk
Thank
in the
you.
Setup.
Uh-huh.
Receive the setup and walk in the setup. It has to be. It has to be. I was on the line earlier with the Divas, and they were talking about her series on abuse, and I shared a story about where I was in a relationship, and it wasn't abusive. He wasn't beating me up or anything like that, but the way that he was treating me, he wasn't setting me up to be my best self either. And I shared with them how God gave me a vision. Because I thought this was going to be the man I had, was going to marry. I thought, you know, we were going to live happily ever after. We were in the same church together. He was saved. I was saved. I even had it. It just made sense to me. Both of our names started with a D. I mean, I was just silly that way. Both of our names started with a D. We were a year apart by one day. So his birthday was the 24th. My birthday was the 27th. And I just knew this was, I just knew he was the one. I just knew because it just seemed, it just made sense to me. But then God gave me a vision. And he showed me that if I were to marry this man, what my life would look like. He gave me a clear picture of what it would, and it took me a while to break that off and to get away from that. But God gave me a clear picture that if I were to stay in that relationship and take it to the next step of saying I do to him, this is what my life was going to look like.
Mm.
And even in that vision for me had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen. And to God be the glory for what he did. To God be the glory that I wasn't foolish, that I was just insisting he had to be the one. But at some point I had to say, oh, no. Oh, no. I got to go. Love you. Bye-bye. Got to go.
Right.
And it's funny because a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to talk to this same man. And I've been married to my husband. It'll be 22 years this summer. And so a long time has passed since that had broken off. But I spoke to him a few years back. He pressured my mother to give him my phone number, and she gave in to him and gave it to him, and he ended up calling. And even on that phone call, he's in a different state, and I'm in the state where I am. Even on that phone call, that same spirit started to come down, and that same weight that I felt when I was in the relationship with him started to come on me, even over the phone. And I praise God, I have to praise God that he gave me that vision of what my life would have looked like if I had said I do to him. God has a plan and a purpose, and he has set different things up in our lives, and he's allowed different things in our lives to come upon us so that he can toughen us up. That's what that's the other side of firmness. He needs to toughen us up. I told you that when I was a little girl, I was a crybaby, the biggest crybaby and scaredy cat that I knew. That was me. And he allowed some stuff to go on in my life. He allowed me to get hurt. He allowed me to suffer some tragedy. He allowed me to go through different things because where I need to be, I needed to get toughened up. I needed to stop being afraid of everything that came my way. I needed to stop being afraid of the new things that needed to happen in my life. I needed to stop being afraid of this and being afraid of that. I needed to stop crying over this and crying over that. Now, does that mean he wants me to be have no emotion? Absolutely not. But when I need to cry, I cry. But there are some things it's just not worth crying over. It's some things that's just not upset over. It's just some things that I just need to let it roll off my back and keep stepping.
That's right.
It's just some things I need to let go that way. And so I had to go through some pressure. I had built me up. And in building me up, I believe that's why he put the mantle of a midwife on me, because I get such pleasure in helping birth somebody else. I get pleasure in helping lead somebody and push somebody else on their way. It just gives me great joy to do that. And I know and understand that's part of my call. So let's go on to the next one. We've been established here in the word firm, but now established. Here's what the Lord said to me as I was studying this. He said to me that I'm going to allow you to be a part of the process that was for firm and allow you to cause the miracles to happen. But when I looked at the word established, here's what he said to me. He said, what I do for you and through you will go beyond you. What I do for you and what I do through you, even as I'm building you up, even as I'm setting you up, even as I'm allowing these things to happen, what I do for you and through you will go beyond you. Beyond you. And that's a picture of Jesus. What did he tell the disciples? Go therefore, make disciples, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. All we're doing is multiplying and reciprocating. All we're doing is multiplying. All we're doing is keeping this cycle going. So it's yes, he's going to bless me as I'm obedient, but the blessing goes way beyond me. When I talked about Joseph, he was blessing Joseph. He was setting Joseph up, even in the ugly and those dark times. He was setting him up. Why? Because it was going beyond him. It was going beyond him. Even when he gave him the dream that the sheaves and were going to bow down and the stars were going to bow down, even that was going beyond him. It was going beyond even his family. It went throughout the land at that time. And that is what God is wanting to do for us. What he does for me and what he does through me in ministry and in my life is to go beyond me. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm going to enjoy some of the benefits of it, but it's going to go way beyond me. It's going to go way beyond me. It's going to go way beyond me. That's why I believe having children is important. And for those who can and how he makes a way for you to have them, cherish your children, please. Cherish them, because what God has started in you and what God has allowed to come through you, especially we women, what God has allowed to come through us goes beyond us. Yes. And we can't even wrap our understanding, we can't even comprehend all of what that looks like. If my mother knew all of what God was going to do through her in me and beyond me, she couldn't have comprehended that. And not just me, I'm not my mother's only child. There are 10 children in my family. She birthed 9 of us. 9 children this woman brought forth into the world. She could never have imagined what was going beyond her, even as she gave birth to the first one, and the second one, and the third one, and the seventh one, and the eighth one, and the ninth one. She had no clue of what her life, the life that she, her own life, what she was bringing forth and how that would go beyond her. And, she's gone now, but I praise God that she could see her grandchildren and even some great-grandchildren. And she still, even in seeing that, she still couldn't even comprehend and fathom just what God is doing and how God is moving beyond her, way beyond her. And even great-great-grandchildren, what's going to go on beyond that. God has set us up for a reason. We have a call. We have a purpose. He has a plan. He has an agenda for each and every one of his sons. He does. But there are some events that he's going to allow us to go through. Yes. They're predetermined and they're inevitable. They have to happen. They have to happen. They have to happen. Why? Because he's got to set us up. We're going to be part of the process. He's setting us up to be part of the process. He's setting us up so that we can cause those miracles to happen. And he's setting us up so that even the miracles that we're causing to happen, they're going to bless beyond us. They're going to bless beyond our family. They're going to bless families we don't even know about. They're going to bless generations that I can't even see. It's just going on that far. That's just how far it's going on. And if I'm not here, if I'm not on this side of the ground when Jesus comes back, it's going to continue. It's not going to stop. It's not Jesus. What Jesus started, what started through Jesus, is not going to stop until he comes back. So think about that. Just think about that. We're part of the plan. We're part of the process. God is allowing us through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to have a play in this. So enjoy the part that you play. And even in all the bad stuff that's going on, and even in all the ugliness that you have to face and endure and go through, the thorns in your flesh that you have to put up with, smile. It has to happen. Why? Because he's setting you up. He's setting you up, and then he wants to take it beyond you. He's setting you up so he can take it beyond you. And that's the word I have for you today. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Apostle Elect Donna Shaw. Hallelujah. And we do have word on the quarter. Apostle Pinson is in the chat room. I don't know how much of it he actually heard, but we thank God for the word. She said it had to happen. It had to happen. And when we think on it in those terms, I guess it'll make it a little easier for some of the things that we're going through at the current moment, that it had to happen. I like the analogy that you gave, and I like the story that you read about Joseph, that had to happen for God's purpose to come forth. And I thank God for that reminder, because I needed to be reminded myself that these things had to happen. Glory to God. So I thank God for the word that you brought forth on this evening. Now we have we have a couple of people on the phone. Apostle Pinson, you're in the chat room, but if you want to call in, it's 323-693-3054. If you have a question or comment for Apostle Elect Donna Shaw, my sister's on the line and my husband's on the line. If either of you have any questions or comments for Apostle Elect Donna Shaw, would you please press the number 1 and we'll get you on the line, amen, to ask your question or to give your comment. In the meantime, I just want to say thank you, woman of God, because you bless me. And I praise
Amen.
God for the word that has come forth. I'm going to play this commercial real quick, and we'll be back. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Apostle LaShawna Simpson. Apostle LaShawna Simpson. So
hallelujah.
I just will get ready for your second meal. Amen.
Amen.
Hey everybody, this is Evangelist Teresa Scott from Oliver Pure Heart Ministries, and I'd like to take this time to invite you to attend our very first annual Women Broken, Women Whole Conference. Yes, that's right, our very first Women Broken, Women Whole Conference. We have two dynamic speakers lined up, Evangelist Patricia Ransom from Las Vegas and former R&B singer Stacey Ladisaw. Yes, you heard it right, Stacey Ladisaw. The conference is going to be held on Thursday and Friday, June 6th and 7th, 2013 at 7 p.m., and the services will be held at Society for Helping Church, 1323 West Susquehanna Avenue in the North Philadelphia section of the city. So we invite you to attend, to come hear a word from the Lord. If you're looking for healing, if you're looking for deliverance, if you're just looking to be blessed, we invite you to come out and attend. God bless you. We hope to see you there.
To break every chain.
Break every chain. Amen. Glory to God. Apostle LaShawna Simpson, God bless you and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministry.
God bless you. How are you?
I am blessed. I won't complain.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bless you for extending the invitation to me, and I'm blessed by it, and I don't take it lightly.
Amen.
And my sister, Apostle Elect, I tell you, every time I hear your voice, it just makes me smile. It really does. When
Amen.
I hear your voice, I just kind of light up. You have such a pleasant spirit and just
Amen.
A joy to be in your presence. And I thank mm-hmm. God what he's doing in your life. Evangelist, I tell you, I thank God for you. I just see so, and your husband, I honor him, and I just thank God for the work that he's doing in your family. And I just tell you, as the word destiny has come forth, I just want to remind you of the work that God has called you and your husband to, Evangelist Scott and Bishop Scott. This is a great work, and what I see you all doing is I see God just allowing you to layer the work.
Mm.
And as you layer the work, it is definitely building, and you are going higher, but it's layers. So even when you don't see the progress that you hope to see, just know that the layers are taking you where you need to go.
Amen.
The layers are doing what it's supposed to do concerning your loved ones. The layers are doing exactly what needs to be done in the perfect time. So I bless you and your husband and your loved ones tonight, and I just pray that word would just take root and just stay in fertile ground till it brings forth the fruit that you need to continue on, even in your destiny. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, Apostle Elect, it's amazing to me how God works and how he shares things in the same manner, but just a different angle.
Amen.
And I just thank God, because even as I was seeking the Lord about what to say, you know, the first thing I thought about was Joseph.
Mm.
But God said, no, I want you to go another way. And I said, well, Lord, it seemed like I want to do Joseph. Lord, no, I want you to go this way. So tonight I'm going to come from the book of Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. Well, is it the fourth? I think it begins in verse 1, I believe. And we're going to go on to the fourth verse. And I'm not going to read. I'm just going to really explain the story to you. And I just want you to know, as you set out in your destiny, you need to know the things that oppose you so you can be ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard someone say, you know, everybody ain't attacking you like that, but you got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And you got to know that you have an enemy.
Yes,
and that enemy is the devil. And one of my mentors in the Lord, she used to say, you know, I hear people say, oh, I ain't worried about that devil. I ain't studying that devil. And she said, I hear you. But we have to recognize that the devil is a formidable foe, and we need to be in a fight position for our destiny. We need to be in a place where we fight and where we don't get so easily distracted when it comes to our destiny.
Mm.
And the spirit to bind up for this hour and for this time is the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias. And I'm going to get into who Sanballat and Tobias was, but the spirit to be bound is the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias. And the thing about it is, one thing, anytime, you know, we have been, the world, even those that are not born again, have gotten consumed with a purpose message. And we can see on television and we can hear life coaches, so to speak. And anytime, because I'm a life coach, I'm often around people that are not believers but just have the gift of encouragement and can give you strategies and all sorts of kinds of things. So the message of purpose is out there. The message of destiny is out there, and people are starting to realize that I'm here on this earth for a different reason besides, you know, just to exist.
Uh-huh.
And so one thing, these are some things that I want you to know about your destiny. First of all, you cannot afford to let someone sabotage your destiny.
Amen.
Say
you
it can, again.
You can't afford that. You can't afford that. So if anybody is trying to sabotage your destiny, you need to be on alert for that, and you need to come up with a strategy to fight that formidable foe.
Yes.
You don't need to let anyone sabotage your destiny. And you need to fight for your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what I'm saying? You need to fight for your destiny because God, first of all, It's necessary. Your destiny is necessary. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't fight for your destiny, God will judge you. Let me explain that. If you don't fight for your destiny, God will judge you. I tell you, I was going through this situation for some years where I kept letting the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias just stop me and just stop me and just stop me. And so I decided, okay, I give. I'll let you do what you want to do, and if you feel like you can do this thing, then I'll leave it up to you. Okay, go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. And I said, I'll just sit back in the cut and chill and let you do what you feel like you need to do, and I'll just chill. I'll just chill. And I'm going to tell you, I got in a place where God's presence began to leave me.
Mm-mm.
God's presence began to, I didn't feel him like I did. I would go into prayer, and I would be complaining about the Sanballat and Tobias spirit, and God, this person is against me, and God, and God, and God. And I remember clearly one day, I was just crying. I'm telling you, I was snotting. I had about 12 tissues, and I mean, I was tore up, and I was like, God, why are you doing this? And you know what? I honestly hurt. I heard God, and I'm in my prayer room right now, and I love my prayer room. And I promise you, in an audible tone, I heard a door slam. Mm. Bam!
Uh-oh.
And I felt God walk out of my prayer room.
Wow.
And I was like, what? God, what? I was like, God, did you just leave? I said, God, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I heard the Holy Spirit, and this was not audible, but I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm not tolerating this mess anymore.
Mm.
Now, you have cried. You have blamed others. Yes, you have been opposed, but I still hold you accountable, and it's time for you to walk as I have called you to walk, and you cannot afford to let anyone stop your destiny. Because one thing, your destiny is like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has your fingerprint.
Amen.
You can be identified in any database by your fingerprint. Nobody has the same fingerprint. Twins, I don't care how identical they are, they don't have the same fingerprint. Your mm-hmm. fingerprint, you can be identified even after you are dead. You can be, fingerprints stick, and fingerprints, anytime you go into a crime scene, they begin to examine and see if there's any fingerprints to see how they can handle the crime, to see how they can figure out the crime. So your destiny is your fingerprint. And nobody can do what you're called to do. Now, hear this. Hear this. This is a great nugget. Now, if you start saying, I'm just not going to do it, God will choose somebody else. But even in him choosing somebody else, that person will still have a different fingerprint.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the same mantle, but God won't use you in the same manner. For example, my grandfather, God rest his soul, he died in 1966. I wasn't even born yet.
Mm.
But he was a CME preacher. In fact, he was a CME elder. CME means, for those that don't know, is Christian Methodist Episcopal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was a high-ranking man of God within that denomination. Mm-hmm. But you know what? His flesh kept getting in the way. His flesh kept getting in the way. He could not. He was a full-time minister. He could not wait on God's provision. And so he started doing things that went against God's commandments in order to as he called, survive. And it messed his ministry up. And he repented. He repented. And after he repented, he came down. Here's what God said. He came down with kidney cancer, my mother told me. And I don't know if my mama's listening, but if she is, love you, mama. And I know you know I just share the word, so I'm not putting our family on blast, but I'm saying this for a reason. Love you much, mama. But he ended up with kidney cancer. And he went home to be with the Lord from kidney cancer. But one thing the Holy Spirit told me about my grandfather, first of all, he had a mighty work, and he did a mighty work, but he let his flesh stop him. Now, he repented, But one of the Holy Spirit told me one of the last things he said was, bless my seed. Bless my seed. And so I'm his seed.
Amen.
I'm his seed. And so a lot of the things that God called him to do, guess what? I'm now doing it.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I'm doing it because it got to be done. Uh-huh. And it's in my DNA to walk in this type of destiny.
Uh-huh.
But as I'm walking in this type of destiny, it's still my fingerprint.
Uh-huh.
It's still my fingerprint. It's still my fingerprint.
Uh-huh.
It's still the way God chose me to do it. It's still, I don't care. God's going to get what needs to be done. You just have to submit.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You have to submit. Now, I want to give the body of Christ a warning. And I want to give leadership a warning. Apostles and pastors, I want to give you this warning. God is about to use, and God has chosen those who have messed up majorly. And God is going to raise these people up, and they're going to do mighty exploits for God. And let me tell you, there are some sins that we don't believe God forgives. And when I talk about certain sins, yeah, we'll forgive, you know, fornication, we'll forgive adultery, and you know, but I'm talking about murderers.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what the Lord is saying. I'm talking about those that committed sex crimes. I'm talking about those that have raped, those that have molested kids and all that type of stuff. I'm talking about messed up major. God is going to use those that have messed up majorly.
Uh-huh.
God is about to use drug dealers. And I'm not talking about little dime bags or, you know, here and there, you know, little runner boy. I'm talking about kingpins. Do you hear what the Lord is saying?
Uh-huh.
God is about to use kingpins. He going to save them, he going to clean them up, and he going to use them. God is about to choose, God has chosen and is about to use prostitutes. And I ain't talking about low-key prostitutes where you just have a boyfriend and you have sex with him and he just your paymaster. He take care of your bills. I'm not talking about that kind of prostitution. I'm talking about the sisters that walk the streets and make thousands of dollars in a night. They have pimps that have whooped them up, beat their behinds. I'm talking about that type of prostitute. And God is saying that he's going to use. He has chosen those type of people. So we cannot even oppose their destiny because
Amen.
They got a fingerprint. They got a story. They got a mantle that they have to walk in.
Yes.
So I admonish you, apostles and pastors, be ready to receive them. Body of Christ, let go of your prejudices because God is about to use them. Ha, robo, sha. I see very clearly that some of these drug kingpins, what they really are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They just chose the wrong thing to sell. They just turned. And so, if you've ever been around a kingpin, praise God, I have, they have this method of organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this watchful sense about them. And so God is going to use them. God, here's another thing. Hear this. This is another nugget. God is going to use those with HIV and AIDS. You know, when you get, you know, God is getting his glory out of my life with multiple sclerosis, and he's getting the glory and all that other stuff, and people say, oh, bless your heart. But you let somebody come up saying, God is with me. I've been HIV for 17 years. And you start talking like that, all of a sudden it's like, the record stops.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, she got HIV. Oh, my God, he got HIV. Yes, got HIV.
Mm-hmm.
But God's still going to use them.
That's right.
See, the fact that people have murdered and that they have been molesters and that they rape people and that they drug dealers and that they prostitutes, they still got a destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is sending forth those in their destiny. So we have to be mindful and we have to be careful that we ourselves are not in walking in a Sanballat and a Tobias spirit.
Hmm.
Now,
wow.
Nehemiah, this is what he saw, and it grieved him. First of all, he witnessed this about the people. He witnessed great affliction. He witnessed reproach. He witnessed a broken wall. He witnessed burned gates. What is it that you're witnessing that's troubling you? Because whatever you're witnessing that's troubling you, that you feel like I got to do something about that, that's your destiny.
Uh-oh.
That's your destiny. What's afflicting you? What do you see that's afflicting somebody? Oh, my God, I see that's afflicting them. Oh, Lord, what can I do about that? Oh, God, I see that reproach. I feel so bad for them. Oh, my God, what can I do about that? Lord, I see that their walls of protection are torn down. God, what can I do about that? I see their gates are burned. Lord, what can I do about that? And Nehemiah saw all this. Nehemiah saw this, and he had a response. When you are confronted with your destiny, and God is showing you what your destiny is and what you're witnessing that troubles you, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. And this was Nehemiah's response. The first thing he did is he wept. What makes you cry? My. What is it that you're crying about? What is it that keep coming up in your face that sometimes you don't even want to deal with it because you know if you confronted it, it'll hurt you so bad, and you'll cry, and you just don't want to cry. You're tired of crying. We say it all the time. I'm going to shed so many tears over this. I'm done shedding tears. You ain't done unless God say you're done. You got to walk out your destiny. You got to walk out your destiny. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to throw it in anyway. There are some people that are refusing their destiny so much and for so long that God says, okay, I have no use for you anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
And hear what the Lord is saying. God is, before this year is out, God is removing, hear what the Lord is saying. God is removing those that he's been pleading with for them to walk in their destiny, and they won't.
Lord have mercy.
Woo. He's saying, I'm tired of this. You're taking up space. You're wasting time. My people need you. I need you to do this, and you're ignoring me, so guess what? I'm removing you. I'm getting you out of here. Some of them say, love God, but they just refuse to submit to God's will, and God said, you out of here, buddy.
My.
You out of here. I have a cousin that I love with all my heart. This boy been called since he was 17 years old. Do you hear me? No, he was called. Know it, he was called. And we would have some pretty deep conversations. But he was a drug addict. And he was a player. Guess what? He was even a pimp at one time. But God kept calling him. And he told me, that's what he told me. He said, cuz, he said, you know what, cuz, let me tell you something, cuz. He said, I know God called me. He said, man, but I just can't do it. He said, I can't do without, you know, women. And he used the word, you know, of women's body parts. Y'all know what he said. He said, I can't do. He said, man, I love getting, you know, he said, I love getting high, man. I know I need to stop, but man, I love getting high. I want to face what I have to face. And do you know, God warned me. He said, if he does not, and this after years now of him just rebelling, he said, 6 months I give him to submit to his purpose. If he does not, I'm removing him from this earth.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what, I got a call from my sister one Saturday morning, and she was crying. And she said, Kevin just died. I said, I didn't even know who she was talking about. I said, I thought she was talking about an ex-boyfriend of hers. And I was like, oh, really? And she said, did you hear me? Kevin has died. And I said, Kevin who? And she said his last name, and I hit the floor. And I hit the floor because I knew God said, if he didn't fulfill his destiny, you out of here. So let me tell you how serious it is that you fulfill your destiny. And if I'm scaring you, good.
Yes.
Ha shakara bosa. If I'm scaring you, that's good. You can't afford to walk around in the flesh anymore. So here, Nehemiah, people, submit to your destiny. What you say, apostle, elect? It had to be done.
Amen.
It had to be. All your hurt, all your pain, all your bondage, all your imprisonment, it had to be done. So stop whining, get up, and be about your Father's business.
Amen.
I'm first partaker. I'm first partaker. So Nehemiah, he was crying. He wept. And the scripture says that he mourned certain days. That means it wasn't, you know how it is when, have you ever been to this place? And I smile a lot, and I'm always, you know, I'm always cheerful, and, you know, and I'm just that type of person. But I got to a place one time where, you know, I ain't have nothing to smile about. I was so broken because I ain't going to do what God said do because it hurt me. I ain't going to do that, God. That hurt. And it stole my countenance. It stole it.
Oh, Jesus.
And everybody was like, girl, what's wrong with you? Because I look different. And see, when you go into mourning sometimes, when you see certain stuff that God is causing you to deal with within your destiny, it'll cause you to mourn for a certain amount of days. But you got to be doing something about it. Nehemiah witnessed things, but he had a response. So he mourned. He fasted. He prayed that God keep the covenant and have mercy for the people of God. So here he wept. He mourned certain days. He fasted. He prayed that God keep his covenant and have mercy for the people. And then this is what he did. He admitted the corruptness of the people.
Yes.
Listen, ain't no sister Annie Penny and stuff.
That's right.
When you are when you are called to be an intercessor from someone, and you have an assignment, you have to love that person enough to pray the truth, even about the corruptness.
Amen.
Every pastor and bishop and apostle and prophetess and evangelist and teacher and every great grandmama and mama, everybody ain't doing the will of God. God ain't pleased with everybody. You need to start dealing with them secret sins, because what is happening is God, it's a mighty fortress that is being built up with sins of the heart. Sins of the heart. We ain't talking about drinking and smoking, all that stuff that we want to condemn folk for. We ain't talking about that, but I'm talking about sins of the heart. Of the heart. And so God is saying, admit the corruptness. If you are afflicted with something, if you have reproach, if you have broken walls, if you have burn gates, admit your corruptness. Get on up and be about the Father's business.
Amen.
And Nehemiah made a request to the king. He said, Lord, would you just let me rebuild this? King, would you just let me rebuild this? Are you asking God, how can I help this situation? God, give me a strategy. Give me a plan so I can get this thing done, because I can't stand the affliction no more. I can't stand the reproach no more. I can't stand the broken wall no more. I can't stand the burnt gates no more. And so the king granted him the request. And what he did is he inspected the wall. Do your research. If you call to help battered women, get on your job.
Amen.
Do the research. Start looking deeper. Start watching the eyes of people you're around all the time. And you say, some ain't right. Even though they're holding hands in church, even though they step, do you know how many people in the church, how many husbands and wives, how many people are being abused that's in the church, and we missing it?
Yes, yes, yes.
And we won't even pray the truth. We'll see it. We'll see the sneers that's exchanged between one another. We'll see the fear and intimidation, and we just dismiss it. But you can't dismiss it.
My God.
You got to secretly inspect the wall. You ain't got to go up to and say, I see the Lord saying, you beating your wife. You need to stop. No, you bet you inspect it and you get on your job and you do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your destiny. It's your destiny. It's your destiny, your destiny, your destiny. And you are called to help rebuild.
My God.
Nehemiah said, okay, you know what? I can do something about it, but I need some help. So I'm going to call some people, and I'm going to ask them to help rebuild. This wall needs to be rebuilt. I can't do it myself. I got a responsibility, but I need some help. With your destiny, God will make sure you get the help that you need. Ha, sha. If you will hear what thus saith the Lord, because some of you are battling the fact, I can't do this by myself. But God will make sure that you have the help that you need.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hear what thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what thus saith the Lord. God will give you the help you need. God will give you the help that you need. And then Nehemiah reminded the people that God is with them. I come today to remind you that God is with you.
Yes, he is.
He's with you. Apostle Elect, he's with you. Evangelist, he's with you. Bishop, he's with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whatever your name is, say your name. God is with me. I come to remind you that God is with you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Lord.
Think about how God is. God is too good to not be with you. God is too good to not be with you. God is too good to not walk you through this thing. God is too good for that.
That's yes.
Right. And he remembers you. And he's watching. Just because God ain't moved yet don't mean he ain't going to move.
That's
see,
right.
See, a lot of times what's going on is God's mercy. See, you ain't the only one in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
We got to consider that. God is working on a bunch of people, and you're a part of that plan of the bunch of people. So let God do what he want to do with somebody else, but you do your job. You get in place, and you walk in your destiny.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You do you. Everybody say, oh, I'm just doing me. And, you know, it's amazing how we say, I'm just doing me when we want to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
But you do you in your destiny.
Hallelujah.
Hear what thus saith the Lord. Do you.
Hallelujah.
In your destiny, do you. Once again, doing you, that's your thing of praying. I ain't got to try to preach like nobody else. My style ain't like nobody I know.
Amen.
You know, I'm like, Lord, you know, back in the day when I was on TBN and when I was on a local station here, I was like, Lord, I don't fit. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I've made up in my mind that I'm going to be authentic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And your destiny should be authentic.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't try to formulate yourself. Now, you do the research, and you follow in order, and it's good to follow in order, but you do you in your destiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sanballat and Tobias, this is what they did, and this is what you're going to experience when you try to walk in your destiny. First of all, they laughed at them to scorn them. Mm-hmm. They laughed at them. People might be laughing at you, Destiny. They might be laughing at you. What in the world is he doing? What make him think he can do that? Oh, he think he bad, huh? They will laugh at you. Don't you dare let people laughing at you stop you from being about the Father's business.
That's right.
My Lord.
So what they laughing at you? So what they whispering about you that you used to be a prostitute? So what they whispering that you killed somebody 25 years ago? Like Jesus can't redeem you in 25 years. Come on, people. Yeah, they going to laugh at you. They going to dig up your past.
Mm-hmm.
If you dig up mine, I got some scandal. You dig up mine, I got that testimony. I got that testimony where somebody said, I got a person right now that I see at the grocery store. He works at the grocery store. He's a local pastor. And he, to this very day, don't speak to me because a lie that was told on me years ago.
He don't speak. Don't even speak. And this lie was 13 years ago.
Wow.
He don't speak to me. And you're going to have people that despise you. And you will find yourself, I found myself, God said, why do they hate me so much? I ain't did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they hate you is because they are destiny crashers.
My.
And they want to interrupt your destiny. That's why they hate you. Because the hate is such a strong emotion, it gets to you.
Uh-huh.
Because the hate runs deep, and they'll do whatever they can to hurt you.
Yes.
And then the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, they'll accuse you of being rebellious. Here, this, I don't know who this is for. But this is what I'm seeing. There is a person, I see this couple, and they're in this church, and God is telling them to move out and begin the work that he's called them to do. But the leadership has said, no, God ain't showed me that. And so you're sitting still, and every Sunday, whoever this is, and if this ain't you, then if I'm seeing somebody in particular, but I know that whoever's listening, if you know somebody that's going through this, you call them and tell them, listen to this in the archives, because this one is for you. But they're saying, you being rebellious. They'll call you, hear what I'm saying, when you obey, they'll call you a witch. They'll call you a warlock. They'll say you backslid. They say God ain't going to bless your ministry. They'll wait to see how many people show up. They look for you to fail.
Uh-huh.
They're going to accuse you. Sanballat and Tobias, that spirit, it's like anger would just drive them, and there would just be like a roar in the spirit against you. And you're like, God, why are they so angry? What is this anger about? I can go in a place and not even say nothing, don't even intend to say a word from the Lord, and all of a sudden I feel this anger. And I'm like, God, why are they tripping? I ain't even say nothing this time. Lord, I went in with my eyes closed prophetically. I ain't want to see nobody. But that spirit of Sanballat and Tobias will be so angry. It will have great indignation. It will be outrage. It will be exasperating. They'll be so offended by you. They'll have fury. But you got to keep walking in your destiny. I encountered someone that their oppression was exasperating. And I said, God, this is exasperating. God said, walk in your destiny. He said, keep on walking, daughter. I said, yes, Daddy God, but it hurts. He said, I don't care. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. And Sanballat and Tobias, they actually came up with a plan to hinder the wall being rebuilt. People will conspire to hinder you. The Lord showed me this great man of God that I love dearly. And he showed me that pastors in the community come together and have meetings about him. And they smile in his face, but behind his back, they attack his character. And they plot against him. See, the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias will plot against you to hinder you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very methodical in thought. So if you feel somebody constantly hinder you, know that they're planning it. See, we don't like to think that people, surely they wouldn't sit around planning to disrupt. Yeah, they are. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm seeing someone on their way to work in traffic, and they spent the whole time in traffic trying to figure out how to come at you.
Oh, my goodness.
But you got to walk in your destiny. And let me tell you what Nehemiah's response was, and I'm almost done. Nehemiah's response was, he prayed some more, and he set a watch. God is calling this week, the month of June. The month of June, Evangelist Scott, Bishop Scott. The month of June, God is calling his children to do some night watching.
And let me explain. Night watching is where you stay up, and there's whatever you stand in need. There are certain times of the night where that warfare prayer works. And evangelist, I almost try to send you the information about the watches so that you will see. And any intercessor that wants to see a evangelist, if you would just, if you can put my email on your site or whatever, and somebody wants the information about the watches of God, I'll send it to them, because God is saying, pray, get up. You pray, pray some more. Pray some more. Your job of praying ain't over. How many times have I heard people say, I have prayed. Pray some more, says the Lord.
My Lord.
Another thing Nehemiah did, he had the people to work and protect their own families. Hear what thus says the Lord. When you don't walk in your destiny, you put your own family in danger. You put your kids in danger. You put your mama in danger. You put your grandchildren in danger. You put your husband in danger. You put your wife in danger. So Nehemiah's response, he said, y'all work, but protect your family the same time you work. Walk in your destiny. Walking in your destiny protects you. And this is another, the last thing that Nehemiah did that I want to talk about. He reminded them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Don't be afraid. And I speak to you that are struggling with your destiny. Like Apostle Elect said, things just had to happen. So stop crying over the spilled milk and walk in your destiny. Don't be afraid. I appeal to you. I admonish you. Don't be scared.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be scared. Yeah. Somebody's so scared, it's just they shaking in their spiritual boots. If that's you, if you shaking in your spiritual boots, I command you to fear not.
Amen.
And know that God is with you.
Amen.
Walk in your destiny. God bless you, Evangelist Scott. God bless you, Bishop Scott. God bless you, Apostle Elect. Donna, I tell you, I thank God. And I just pray, it is my prayer that God's people just walk in their destiny.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know I heard a word from both of the ladies this evening ministering tonight. If you heard something during this broadcast this evening and you have a question or comment, would you please call area code 323-693-3054 and press the number 1, and we will get you on the air to ask your question or to give a comment. I, for one, heard so much from the Lord, like I'm shaking in my boots over here, because something you said like brought tears to my eyes, just because it scared me, that if you don't walk in your destiny, that part right there. And I know that was strictly for me. I had this conversation with someone earlier today and told them, and they were telling me that it's time to walk in the purpose that God called me for. And I heard it very clearly tonight. It was just so clear, my God. Honey, you're on the line. Your mic is open. Do you have anything you wanted to say? Honey? Okay, I don't know what he's doing. He's not responding. Okay, well, I don't see anybody pushing the number 1. I see a couple of people on the line. I want to see if I can get Apostle Donna back on. Apostle Donna?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, did you have a comment on this word? Because this word kind of threw me.
I agree with Apostle Lashana, how God works everything, and he just put the pieces of the puzzle together, and the responsibility is on us to take heed and to go forth and do.
Yeah, that warning was really deep. I'm going to go back and listen to this, but I don't really have to listen to it again. I heard the word of the Lord. And so I'm just going to be praying for God to I'll talk to you about it later, but I know I need, yeah, some mentors, because people will tell you things, Apostle LaShawna, and they will leave you hanging, you know, and not really teach you or tell you, you know, how you're supposed to go about that. And that's where I'm at right now. People have prophesied to me and spoken things over me, and I don't know what to do. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I'm not,
absolutely.
You know, so I don't, when somebody tells you something, and I don't have Elijah to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Like, he had
absolutely.
Somebody. Joshua had Moses. Who do I have? You
right.
know, and yeah, my husband has taken me to as far as he can take me. And here we are. So that's what's going to be my prayer. So I'm saying that out loud because, we need to walk in our purpose, because people have tried to hinder us. And all of the things that you spoke tonight, you were speaking, a lot of that was about us and for us.
Yeah.
So I heard the word of the Lord. I'm going to see who's on this line and wants to ask a question or give a comment. Area code 340228, you're on the line.
God bless you, woman of God. Once again, I just want to say, what a broadcast. Both the women of God brought forth a dynamic teaching. And it's a teaching that we can learn by. And I challenge people that are live tonight on the broadcast, and those who are listening by way of the archive, to listen to this word, listen to what both women said, and take what they told you and run with it. Because I'm telling you, the time is here and the time is now, and God is searching. He is looking, and he is proclaiming, yes, my daughter, it's your time. Yes, my son, it's your time, and you've got to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's time out with playing. It's time out for running. We are in such of perilous times that God is needing, he needs people to come together on one accord and stay his perfect will. So I thank God for you, evangelist, prophetess, and I thank God for your husband for putting this broadcast together, for putting this ministry out there this whole week. Because see, what you really didn't realize what you're doing, you're having revival right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you guys realize that this is really revival. And it's to revitalize those of us who have been in a quiet place where God is saying, okay, now it's time to come out of that quiet place and it's time to go forward in the work. So I thank you, woman of God. I thank God for the both of the apostles for coming forward and allowing Jehovah Jireh to use them abundantly. I love you all. God bless you. And I'm going to turn it back over to you.
God bless
Amen.
You, Apostle. We love
Amen.
You.
Amen. Yes.
Apostle Pinson.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you please give your information for your broadcast on this evening?
You know I don't like doing that. I really don't. Because right now, it's all about what you guys are teaching. I don't want it to be a distraction at all. I just will say that the name of the broadcast is It's Time to Pray. It comes on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's all I'm going to say about that. I think we need to stick to the subject at hand, because there's somebody listening right now that is saying, you know what, it's my time and it's my season, and I got to walk in my authority.
Yes, you do.
Well, they need to hit the one if they're listening on the line. I see a couple of numbers on here, and they're not hitting the one yet. But, you know, I know they heard the word. I heard it. I know they heard it. And I will go back and listen to it again, because it's not something that you just take lightly. It's something that you really have to hear, and hear with your spiritual ears and not with, you know, your natural ears, because your natural ears will make you run and hide somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear what the Lord says, and not just hear him, but obey him. So, go ahead.
Apostle-elect, I hear the Lord saying for you, as you spoke, as the Lord have declared you to be a midwife, I see you, first of all, a midwife is very different from just a OBGYN doctor. It's totally different. My last baby, I had a midwife. And she was much more involved in my delivery than my other how my other children were born. The doctor, they just seemed kind of impersonal. But my midwife, I mean, she was on the point. She knew me. She knew. She paid attention to how my body operated the whole time I was pregnant. By the time it was time for me to deliver, we had a relationship. And I just want to encourage you as a midwife in the spirit to know that you're going to be different. I just see you just saying, come on. I just see you holding the hand of the people. So it's going to seem... you're going to raise up people that are in an intense pain but have to get this baby out. So I just want to encourage you as a midwife that your delivery is the way it needs to be done. But let me tell you this. I want you to be careful of something. As a midwife, it's not your responsibility to take care of the baby once it gets here.
Mm.
You just midwife. Because it's the ones, and that's what this apostolic anointing is about. It's about you treading the way. And when you tread the way, they're going to come behind. But you let them come behind, but it's not your job to hold their hands as they come along. You're the one in the delivery room holding their hand. But I admonish you, don't hang on because it'll drain you. And your destiny will be hindered if they drain you. Because the way God wants to use you, you know, I hear people say, don't prostitute my anointing and all that. I'm not talking about people that is right now, this is how God wants to use you. This is the vein God wants you to use you. And God, I see God placing someone in your path that's going to walk with those that once they deliver, he'll send them to walk. He'll send somebody to walk along with them. But make sure you don't hold on too long. Because you love so hard. My gosh. You love so hard. And you just love God's people. You just love so much and so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so love them while they're carrying this baby. Walk them through. Take care of them. Check. Make sure they're all right. But when they deliver, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go. Says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to put Apostle LaDonna.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Selah.
Did you have anything you wanted to say?
I did. I said Selah.
Oh.
All right. That was 100% on point, and I received that, and I heed that warning because you're right, and that's all I have to say.
Amen. God bless you. Love you so much.
I love you too.
Amen. Bible Truth by Benny, you're in the chat room. Do you have anything you would like to ask or add to what we heard on tonight? A question or a comment? Okay, well... I don't have anything to say because I cannot talk over this word that was given to us. So this is the end of this broadcast, unless one of you ladies has something else that you want to say.
No, ma'am. Just to God be the glory.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're just going to close the broadcast out on that note. We're going to pray. Apostle Pinson, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, can you pray us out real quick, please?
Amen. I will definitely do that. It's my joy and privilege. But before we do that, if there's somebody online tonight, and I almost see this as being a female, a young lady or a young woman, that's listening to this that may be online, that's saying, you know what, I need somebody to talk to me, but I want you to call me out. Will you just get called out? Somebody saying, you know, I'm kind of shy. I don't want to do this, but, you know, I need this right now. If that's you, I need you to press 1 on your phone right now. It's your time. It's your season.
Amen.
I'm telling you, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. It's your time right this second. It is your time right now. If you need to call into this broadcast, then you need to do that right now at 323
693-3054 and then press 1 on your telephone so the evangelist can pull you up. And one of these women of God will pray for you like never before. If you feel that's you, then press 1 on your phone right now. Don't wait. Tomorrow may be too late. My God. My God. Amen. Amen. Well, with all that said, let us bow our heads. Let's get ready to depart this place, but never the presence of God, knowing that He is truly the Alpha and Omega. God, we thank You for this teaching tonight. Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for a rhema word, a right now word, a word that is burning and being resonant in our hearts, Lord God. Father, I thank You for both women of God that brought forth this word. But, Daddy, most of all, I want to thank the woman and the man of God who supported this ministry and who is going forward in this ministry, bringing men and women like these ladies came tonight. Father, I thank You in advance for the victory in their lives. Lord, I ask that You refresh them. Give them a newness, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Allow them to have sweet sleep this night and to be able to abide in who You are. Now, Lord God, as we leave this place, we leave with the understanding that You are our great I Am, and we love You for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we're going to carry this over into the 8 o'clock hour when Apostle Pinson comes on the broadcast. So we'll be joining him over there.
Just be prepared.
This will
be raw tonight.
Okay. All right. All right. You know, before we started the broadcast, we did say we wanted to pray for those who might not be saved and might want salvation. Apostle LaShawna. So,
amen.
Yeah, we don't want to leave the broadcast until we pray for them.
Amen. Father, in Your Son Jesus' name, Lord God, I just pray right now for those that may not have given their lives to the Lord yet. I just admonish you, if you're on this line tonight and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to give you that opportunity today. Don't miss this moment to have this great new beginning and walk in your destiny. Your destiny is tangled up, tied up, connected. It can't be separate from Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you're on tonight, I don't care. You might be in church. You might be churched. You might know the ways of the Lord. You might just have tuned in just by accident. But I want to appeal to you. Give your life to the Lord tonight. If you want to give your life to the Lord tonight, we can pray for you. If you would just press 1. And those that are listening in the archives, if you give your life to the Lord, we just want you to send an email or response to evangelists and say, you know, I made Jesus my Lord that night, that day. I just made Him Lord. And so if there's anybody that wants to give their life to the Lord tonight, just press 1.
Jesus. Okay, no ones.
Apostle elect, would you do the prayer of salvation for those that might be listening in the archives? Just lead someone in the prayer of salvation.
Amen. If this is you and you've heard this word and it applies to you, even though you're not in the body of Christ, it can apply to you if you would just say yes to Jesus. He's been with you all along. He's been running after you and chasing after you, and you know He has. And He is right here with His arms wide open just for you. Just for you. Just for you. And so your heart, as it's beating fast, you know that's you. You know that's you. Just go ahead and submit to it. And just say with all your heart, with the tears streaming down, with the tremble in your voice, just say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Please forgive me of my sin. I've been running, but I want to stop right now. I know that you are the Son of God who died on Calvary's cross to wash away my sin. I don't understand. It's okay to say that. I don't understand what all that means. But with this little inkling of faith that I have right now, I put it on you. I believe in you. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, you may not know what all that means. You may not understand what all you just said, but find a place of refuge. What I mean by that, find a place that's not just telling you the do's and don'ts, but find a place that is going to love you and help you walk out what you just prayed, help you understand and see clearer what Lord and Savior really means, help you see and understand and make real to you exactly what he just did in your life. We all rejoice with you. We love you and praise God for your decision. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if that was you tonight and you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you into the family of Christ tonight. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. June 3rd, 2013. Or if you're listening to this prayer in the archives, whenever you're listening, we welcome you to the body of Christ. Amen. Because God's word never expires. That's one thing I know about his word. It never expires. And truth, Bible Truth by Benny said, he says a big amen to the word delivered on this evening in the chat room. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, thank you so much, Apostle-elect Donna and Apostle LaShawna, for coming on tonight and ministering the word of God to us. We thank you for revealing and for confirming and for correcting us. And even chastisement was in there. And I do thank God for that, because that lets me know that I'm still his child, that he can send a word of correction. Whoever the Father loves, he chastens. So I thank him for his love tonight, for his chastisement on tonight, and for his warning. For his warning. And I know for sure that that warning was not just for me, but whoever the warning was for, I hope that you not just hear what was said tonight, but that you will heed it, that you will get to it, and don't delay past this evening. Don't delay. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and get about our Father's business, because even as we're sitting on this broadcast, people are dying in their sin. There are people dying who we have not reached out to. People are doing things that they're doing because we refuse. Oh, God, I don't want to do it. Or I don't think I can. Whatever the excuse is. But I heard through all of that was spoken tonight that it's time out for excuses. God's not dealing with it anymore. Disobedience is sin. And delayed obedience is disobedience. So
say it again.
Yes, delayed obedience is disobedience. So I don't know. That's not just for me. It's for me, but it's not just for me. So whoever you are listening, please obey the word of God. Don't let anybody or anything hinder you from doing what you heard God speak to you tonight. Get past the ladies. Get past the titles. I heard God tonight. I don't know about you, but if you have a spiritual ear to hear, you heard him too. And I would admonish you to not forsake the word that was spoken tonight. This did not happen by accident. As Apostle-elect said, this had to happen. This
had to.
This glory. Was scheduled. It was scheduled to happen tonight. It was scheduled.
Yes.
To happen. And I promise you, at 5 minutes to four, my internet went out. And I said, devil, you're a liar. I will have this broadcast tonight. And my husband turned off the box and left it off for a couple of minutes. And when he turned it back on, it came on with no problem. But this was ordained by God. This had to happen. It was predestined. Mm-hmm. It was preordained to happen. It was preordained for you to be on the line tonight. It was predestined for you to be in that chat room tonight to hear the word of the Lord. And if you're even listening to this in the archives, it was determined by God for you to hear this word, because this word is for you. So don't delay in obeying God. Please don't. Because I heard God speak through the vessel that he will take you out of this earth. He will take you out. I heard the testimony about the cousin, I believe it was, and he wouldn't obey, and he died. He wouldn't do it. And hear the word of the Lord. He didn't say that to frighten you, so to speak, but I got afraid because I heard God talking to me. Hear God speak to you. Shut your ears to everything else around you. Shut your ears to everything else that's coming against what you just heard God say. Because your life, and not just your life, but other people's lives are waiting. I don't want somebody else's fingerprint on my destiny. I don't know if you heard that, but I don't want somebody else's fingerprint on my destiny. I want to do what God has predestined for Teresa to do. You know, and Apostle Penson, you know, you said something tonight that encouraged me as well. And you was like, this is revival.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes we don't really think we're doing what we're supposed to do. And maybe I'm not doing it to the level that God wants me to do. But that right there, too. He said, this is revival, and I never thought about it like that.
So I told my mom that it's like a revival. When I was telling my mom, I used the exact word revival. I said, it's kind of like a revival. I think it's a revival. I don't know, you know.
Amen.
So indeed it was.
Yeah, so
it
I thank God for that. Yes, amen. And tomorrow night, we're having Evangelist Stacy Lattisaw on at 5 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, we're having Apostle Penson.
Amen.
At 5 o'clock. So if you're able to tune in, please tune in. But tune in with a heart that's ready to receive a word from God. So sometimes we get caught up on people and we miss what God is really saying.
Mm-hmm.
But even with Stacy Lattisaw, don't get hung up on the name. Come to hear a word from God. You know, God will use that name to draw people, and he'll use whatever way he want to use, but we want to hear a word from God. We want to hear a word from God. And I know I got one tonight. Okay, we have about 7 minutes left, so is anybody on the line who has not pressed the number one yet? If you'd like to press the number one to give a comment or ask a question, you have the opportunity to do so. Right now, we want to give you that chance. We want to give you that chance. You know how we do in church. We wait for everybody to go head up, and then when they get ready to get a benediction, then they want to press one. This is how we do. But Jesus is Lord. So, okay, nobody's pressing the number one. So, with all that being said, we just want to give honor to God tonight and thank him for all that he said and done tonight through his two vessels, well, his three vessels, because Apostle Penson spoke as well. And I just honor God tonight and thank him so much for what he's done. What he's done. I thought this broadcast was set up for other people, but it was set up for me. And I thank God for that. Apostle LaShawna, I asked Apostle Elect Donna to give you my number.
Okay.
Because I want to talk to you briefly.
Okay. Got to get some things clear. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. For my sister Shirley, my husband Bishop Scott, I believe he went to sleep, but God bless him. Apostle-elect Donna Shaw, Apostle LaShawna Simpson, Apostle Pinson, all these apostles on the broadcast. Praise God tonight. Bible Truth by Benny in the chat room, and a web pastor. I don't know if that was you listening as a guest earlier, but this was an anointed, appointed broadcast. And if you get a chance, if you can go back into the archives and listen to it, a web pastor, and hear what the Lord was saying. So we just thank God. Thank you, apostles. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And so you guys have prayed. So we're going to end the broadcast now. And we thank God. So I'm going to rest, unless you call me, Apostle LaShawna. And then we're going to listen to Apostle Pinson on his broadcast tonight at 7. It's called It's Time to Pray. So if you want to look it up on Blog Talk Radio, please do so. And before I close, those of you in the Philadelphia or the tri-state area, on this Thursday and Friday, June 6th and 7th, 2013, we're having a women's conference, and we're having a evangelist Patricia Ransom from Las Vegas. And this woman has a testimony. She has a dynamic testimony. I'm talking about deliverance, what God did for her on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Stacy Ladisaw, former R&B singer, and she also has a dynamic testimony of deliverance, of where God has brought her from. And I thank God for these two vessels that God has brought to us to do this conference. It's going to be held at 1323 West Susquehanna Avenue in the North Philadelphia section of the city. So if you have any questions about it, just get me on Facebook. And I'm Teresa. God is making me over again, Scott. Okay? So look me up if you need any more information. And my phone number is 215-356-3486. That is my cell phone, 215-356-3486. All right. God bless you, everybody. We're ending the broadcast now. God bless you. And if the Lord says the same, we'll see you all on tomorrow evening. Amen. God bless you, everyone, and good night.
I'm tired, options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray, what's left? I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but